It's Helping Hand. Every Friday, Helping Hand puts a spotlight on an organization, topic, or event that offers assistance to the disabled and others among the most vulnerable. I'm Dave Lawrence. This week, we are learning about ALS, amyotrophic lateral sclerosis, also known as Lou Gehrig's disease. Walk to Defeat ALS September 17th. And during this month that they are seeking support, we're welcoming back our returning guest, Fred Fisher, President and CEO, ALS Association, Golden West Chapter. Aloha, Fred. Welcome back, brother.
Aloha, Dave. It's great to be back.
Amyotrophic lateral sclerosis. Correct me on my pronunciation.
Getting really good at it. That's it.
That's it? All right.
That's it.
It's a heavy thing. Before we get into some recent discoveries and successes, can you talk about how ALS affects folks and perhaps give us some of the very first signs?
So one of the big challenges with ALS is that it mimics other diseases early on. We're getting closer to having a biomarker where we can actually test blood and say, oh, it's ALS, it's not a stroke, it's not Parkinson's, it's not Alzheimer's. But for now, we're not there yet. And so the first signs a person might experience are slurred speech, difficulty swallowing, difficulty breathing. They may not be able to grasp a pen or their toothbrush. They may have a dropped foot. They may trip and wonder, how did that happen? What's going on? And then it progresses. So it can start anywhere in the body. It affects nearly every muscle except for the heart. Any muscle can be affected first, typically either what's called your upper motor neurons or your lower motor neurons. It's a brain disorder that disconnects the nerves from the muscle. The muscle withers and dies, and you lose the ability to walk, to talk, to swallow, and eventually to breathe. People living with ALS need lots of support, lots of coordinated care.
What age does this kind of thing start?
For most people, it's 40 to 70. But for the guys that created the idea for the Ice Bucket Challenge, they were in their mid-20s. It can strike really any of us at any time. If you're over 40, you have about a 1 in 400 lifetime risk of being diagnosed with ALS. What's particularly challenging about Hawaii is that most of the population in Hawaii is over 50. Hawaii has a particular risk for ALS just because of the age factor. And then it gets compounded by the fact that Hawaii has lots of veterans, and veterans get ALS twice as often as everyone else.
As I recall, there wasn't really a key connection between why that's happening. Is there something about the supplies that are vended to the military that would bring all these people together? Is there any more we can add to how the vets end up with that? Or is it there a certain unique stress that comes with that?
So those are all the right questions. It's the reason we passed the ALS Registry Act, because we wanted to understand from an epidemiological point of view, what are the things that people are being exposed to? Where do they work? Where do they live? What's their lifestyle choice? To see if any of that contributes to ALS. We've been here in Hawaii promoting the ALS Registry. We want every single living person with ALS to participate. It's an extensive survey. It's being run by the CDC. So this isn't an ALS Association database. This is the CDC is trying to find this. But for now, we just don't know. When somebody's got it, then we have a lot of things we need people to do that definitely slow it down. There's nothing you and I can do right now that we know of to prevent us from getting ALS,
even though
we're at risk. The other issue is this coordinated care system that we've now put in place, thanks to people's support of the Walk to Defeat ALS. We've now incubated a clinic here on Hawaii that specializes in ALS with a full multidisciplinary team that has been trained to coordinate their care with other disciplines, because it takes 9 different doctors to treat ALS. So now we've got all those 9 disciplines
in
one place at one time dealing with a whole group of ALS patients, so that their care is being coordinated with someone who's out in the community visiting them in their home. We have staff here in Hawaii. We're working with ALS patients on every island. We get them the help early so that we're preventing injury. We're preventing ER visits. We're preventing starvation. We're preventing oxygen deprivation. All those things help people live longer and better with ALS.
Taryn Davis, Regional Care Manager. Kahala Hauser, Regional Director of Community Outreach here. This is all part of this new clinic that we've got here, right?
That's right. And they're working directly with the medical professionals. We've got new clinicals starting either later this year and early 2017. We have a clinical trial that's going on right now for a drug that's designed to slow down ALS.
From the time you're diagnosed till the time generally that you pass on as a result of this.
So what we used to say is 2 to 5 years, but everywhere we establish this robust multidisciplinary community and clinic-based model of care, we find people start living longer and better.
The cats that came up with the Ice Bucket Challenge challenged? Were they military vets or to
no.
explain their youthful contraction of this?
Nope, they weren't. They, like you, found purpose in this world and in their life. And so while the revenue from the Ice Bucket Challenge and the investments we're making in over 150 research projects around the world and the new treatments that are coming online, they may not help any of those three guys, but they know that they're making a huge difference in the world and they're leaving their mark, which is kind of what any of us can really hope for. None of them were thinking about launching the world's largest social media fundraising phenomenon.
There's been a discovery of a gene known to be among the most common genetic contributors to ALS came from funds raised through the Ice Bucket Challenge.
Absolutely. So when people wonder sort of where'd that money go and is it getting put to good use, we've actually identified three new genes, the latest just a few months ago, which is the fifth leading cause of ALS that we know of.
When it comes to getting involved to support your organization during this month of August, every drop adds up.
The Ice Bucket Challenge raised $117 million. Most of that money were gifts of $10, $15, $25. So every drop counts. And the research that we're funding is driving discovery for every neurodegenerative disease. So what we discover in ALS, the scientists believe, is likely applicable to Alzheimer's, Parkinson's, Huntington's. By the way, Alzheimer's, Parkinson's, Huntington's, frontal temporal dementia, and ALS, taken together, they're the fifth leading cause of death in the country. None of them have an effective treatment or cure.
The walk, September 17th, that's the only one you do in the state, right?
Is that's here? The only one in the state, and every dollar that's raised stays in the state. It doesn't cover any administrative costs. It doesn't cover any fundraising costs. And we're looking forward to announcing Hawaii's first ALS research program, which will look at how we can study the Asian Pacific Islander community living with ALS.
Dr. Justin Ichida?
Correct. Native son of Hawaii.
You say that it's just $10 from this person, that person. So you can imagine if 1 million people in the state gave just $10 each.
Wow. Transformative.
Whatever pain it is that's drawn you to give doesn't go away when you start fighting for those in need or trying to defend those without a voice. But you just get a feeling, you know, you're contributing in a way that you can get involved. A small contribution from many people does add up.
Sometimes you make a gift and you have no idea what happens to it. You don't know where it goes. When you make a gift to HPR, you can hear the programming. When you make a gift to something you're not particularly connected to, like ALS or whatever motivating your giving, you're not always able to see the result of that gift. We've only been here for 3 years. Before that, there was no clinic. There were no staff. We've got a full multidisciplinary clinic in place. We've got full-time staff visiting every island, visiting every patient. We've got support groups nearly on every island. We've got equipment loan pools. You can see the tangible results of your giving. Everybody has the opportunity to make a difference. And what we want to do is know what's your way to make a difference. How do you want to be involved? What do you want to bring to this effort? And whether it's volunteering at the walk, walking at the walk, donating to the walk, forming a team for the walk, joining us on shows like this to tell your story and how it connects.
And there's a lot of corporate potential, right? Mm-hmm. For people who have a company, you can do a team. You have a gala that's on the extended radar.
We're setting the date now. Terrific event at the Royal Hawaiian coming up this spring. When you talk about corporations who've been touched by ALS, the Royal Hawaiian, Starwood, Marriott, they're all part of that group of corporations that have lost people to ALS. And many corporations match donations from their employees. So people forming corporate teams and corporate sponsorships are really essential.
ALS-Hawaii.org, 866-750-2572. The walk on September 17th at HawaiiPublicRadio.org. All the contact information, the full interview, the radio feature, and all of our other helping hands archived at HawaiiPublicRadio.org.
If people have questions, I'm always available to talk to anyone. They can call, they can reach me directly, they can drop me an email. I'm happy to have a conversation, answer all their questions.
It's Fred Fisher. He's the president and CEO, ALS Association, Golden West Chapter, which is in force right here in the Aloha State. Thank you so much for being on Helping Hand again.
Thanks for making our progress possible.